Hello, friends. Welcome to Islington Listens, wisdom from a community of faith that doesn't think the same, vote the same, or love the same, but we are trying our best to follow in the way of Jesus with compassion and hope. Welcome to the week of guided prayer, day 3. Woven with God's love is our theme, and today may the threads of humility find you. Our first scripture comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 24, verses 42 to 48. I came today to the spring and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now you will only make successful the way I am going, I'm standing here by the spring of water. Let the young woman who comes out to draw, to whom I shall say, please give me a little water from your jar to drink, and who will say to me, drink, and I will draw for your camels also, let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son. Before I'd finished speaking in my heart, there was Rebekah, coming out with her water jar on her shoulder, and she went down to the spring and drew. And I said to her, please let me drink. She quickly let down her jar from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will also water your camels. So I drank, and she also watered the camels. And then I asked her, whose daughter are you? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him. So I put the ring on her nose and the bracelets on her arms, and then I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord, the God of my master Abraham and my mistress Sarah, who had led me by the right way to obtain the daughter of my kinsman for his son. And then we hear words from the first book of Samuel, chapter 17, 38 to 45. Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. David strapped Saul's sword over the armor, and he tried in vain to walk, for he was not used to them. And then David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I am not used to them. So David removed them, and then he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the wadi and put them in his shepherd's bag in the pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. The Philistine came on and drew near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. The Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the wild animals of the field. But David said to Goliath the Philistine, you come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. And in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, verses 36 to 43, one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and when he went into the Pharisee's house, he reclined to dine. And a woman in the city, who was a sinner, having learned that he was eating in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears and to dry them with her hair, kissing his feet and anointing them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman this is who's touching him, that she is a sinner. And Jesus spoke up and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. Teacher, he replied, speak. A certain moneylender had 2 debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they could not pay, he canceled the debts for both of them. Now which of them will love him more? Simon answered, I suppose the one for whom he canceled the greater debt. And Jesus said to him, you have judged rightly. And in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, 11 to 21, another story Jesus told. Then Jesus said, there was a man who had 2 sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the wealth that will belong to me. So he divided his assets between them. And a few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant region, and there he squandered his wealth in dissolute living. And when he'd spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that region, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of the region, who sent him to the fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. And he ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. And then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.'" I hate to sew. Thanks to the patience of my aunt, who is my home economics teacher, I know the basics of sewing. Still, every time I sit down to thread my sewing machine, tension and impatience build within me. Within minutes, I find myself in an adversarial relationship with the thread, the machine, and the fabric. The only chance I have for success resides in the echo of my aunt's words, stored in my memory: "Slow down, respect the fabric, stay focused." In my head and heart, the many shoulds, coulds, and musts instilled by family, church, and colleagues, along with my own desire to shine, push me to do more, be more, achieve more. I try harder, call myself names, get annoyed with the people around me. Often in the stresses and conflicts that come my way, I want to hide, to give in, to sacrifice myself for tenuous calm. Other times, angry, I join the battle, using the wiles of my enemy vigorously for my purposes. At such moments, humility is a gift, calling me to greater respect for myself and the other. Humility demands enough respect to be true to my best self. It gives me grace and courage to stand my ground, sometimes gently, sometimes more firmly. No hiding, no caving in, no vicious attack. Gentle respect is a powerful force. The echo of these threads reverberates. Who you are is gift. Who you are is enough. Be yourself and trust God. As God's love continues to be woven through the fabric of my life, I've come to value the threads of humility. It is the strong, soft threads of humility that God often uses to tailor my efforts. It is as if these threads had voices, similar to my aunt's. "Slow down," they whisper. "Respect the fabric of each day and person. Who you are is enough. Who you are is a gift. Be nothing more or less than who you are. In this, I follow the lead of young David, who, to be effective at all against the giant Goliath, needed to remove the ill-fitting armor of a soldier and trust the skills and gifts that were his. In my experience, to be humble is not to undervalue or overvalue myself, but to be myself, trusting God's loving purpose. When I do that, my life's fabric becomes the material in which I encounter love." For your reflection, I ask, when have you been tempted to be less or more than your true self? And where does God lead you in the way of humble faith and love? And so we pray. All-knowing God, it amazes us that while you have planted our feet firmly on the earth, you've given us a desire to reach for the stars. Thank you for the span of our being, and help us to tread the narrow way between both, so that we value ourselves as you do. Amen. Thanks for listening, friends. For other ways to connect, go to islingtonunited.org. May God's wisdom and love keep finding you.